Fan Early Morning Show on a Friday. I'm Austin Bechtel, pleased to be with you. What a game. What a game it was for the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. 4-0 winners against the Colorado Avalanche. Coming into the game, you know, I think you'd really have to be naive to think that the Penguins could go in there and dominate the Colorado Avalanche. Yes, at home, but an undefeated team, clicking on all cylinders, just an overall fantastic team. I don't know how you stop Colorado. 6-0 on the year, a team that has pretty much, in every result, taken care of business in the Central. And they've had a bunch of wins by multiple goals. Islanders 7-4, Hurricanes 6-4, 4-0 against the Blackhawks, who the Penguins lost to after having a 2-0 lead on opening night. 4-1 at the Kraken, shootout win against the Sharks. And what do you know? The Pittsburgh Penguins don't care and take care of business. Nathan MacKinnon, shutout. Thomas Tatar, nothing. Cal Makar, nothing. Great performance. Credit Tristan Jarry. Shout out for Jarry. He's somebody that, you know, I've been pretty tough on. I didn't like the 5-year contract. I still don't like the 5-year contract that the Penguins signed him to in the offseason. Partly because of inconsistency. And when you look at this season so far for the Penguins, and especially specifically looking at Tristan Jarry, he's 2-3 on the year. He made 31 saves. Did not allow a puck to get past them. Yeah, the St. Louis game, the Detroit game, not great. His goals against average on the season, 2.24, a .917 save percentage. But he's already got 2 shutouts. It's just what confuses me. Really confuses me about Tristan Jarry. And it's because I just want to see more. And that might be a tough sentence to say just because, you know, what more do we already have to see from Jarry? We know who he is, right? We know the type of player that he is. We know that he's going to come out there and one game he looks like Martin Brodeur, and the next he looks like Casey DeSmith. Worse than Casey DeSmith. Whatever goalie you want to throw out there. He was good last night. And what was even better, though, is that the boys were buzzing. They were moving. I mean, the Penguins looked fast, quick. They had a jump step on Colorado. And just seemed generally more interested in playing the game. I mean, truly, when I watched that game last night, it appeared to me that the Penguins were just quicker to pucks, better against the wall, and overall, just looking like a team at home that had more confidence than the Penguins really should have after coming off of 3 straight losses that, I mean, truly, weren't even close. 4-1 to the Stars Tuesday. Bad loss at the Blues, 4-2 Saturday. At the Red Wings, 6-3. You can't lose to the Red Wings. Lars Eller was the catalyst. I know the Red Wings are 5-2-1, but still a team that's been down in the dumps for years. Blues are also over 500, but the Pens are 7th in the Metro. Good old reliable, though. Sidney Crosby has kept this thing afloat. The Penguins went from disinterested in that Stars game to the most attentive team to detail against Colorado. Look, maybe that's just what this team is. One of the oldest teams in hockey. Crosby now 5 goals, 3 assists in 7 games. Shout out Lars Eller. Somebody who, when the Penguins brought him in, I thought would be a pretty solid acquisition. Somebody that you can throw in really anywhere in your forward pairings. anywhere on the, say, bottom six. Because the Penguins have not had any depth in the bottom six the last couple of years, really. And that's been the detriment of the team the last couple of years. Lack of production from Jeff Carter. Some injuries. You think of, you know, Zach Aston-Reese no longer being here. Some of the other guys, Teddy Bluger, that have played a role in that bottom six that really on the fourth line, made the fourth line go. We're far way away from the HBK line. But Lars Eller is somebody that can bring a spark. He played well. Two goals in the game to help jumpstart the Penguins. And just being able to get out to an early lead. Get the confidence going again for Tristan Jarry. Here's what Lars Eller had to say.
Show ourselves that, you know, this is how good we're capable of be when we're on top of our game, and this is the kind of effort and structure that we need to play with every game, and then we can do great things and still have, you know, play fun hockey and score goals. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You know, I think a lot of good defensive plays led to offensive chances, and those things, you know, go hand in hand, and that showed well today, I think.
Lars,
how about Jarry getting a shutout against that Kansas?
Yeah, happy for him. He was fighting Ned, like I said, every time we needed a big save, especially on the PK. He came up huge for us, and you know, I think the game was by no means over maybe until the fourth one, because they're an explosive offensive team. So he was great tonight.
Lars, you talked after the game Tuesday. What do you think keyed this response or this effort that we saw tonight?
I think the play, like, without the puck, the willingness to do the right thing, stay above their guys and be on the right side defensively and fight for loose pucks and you know, have a strong defensive game. And that, I think the willingness to do that, the commitment was there, and then that brought us, that led to good offense.
Couple things I take away from there. First of all, the play of Jarry. The players see it. The players obviously should. I mean, he was huge against maybe the best team in hockey. I mean, that's not far-fetched to say, right, about Colorado. I would not be one bit surprised if they win the Stanley Cup this year. Nathan MacKinnon and the boys over there, Cal Makar might be the best defenseman in hockey, probably is the best defenseman in hockey. A great overall performance from Jarry to shut them down. And yeah, you know, I think back to something that Rob Rossi said on opening night right here on 93.7 The Fan before the first game of the year. Look, this team, if they're up by two goals, three goals, or if they're down by two, three goals, they're must watch. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And Jarry shut the door on that. Also, the fight. The effort that Eller turned to. He pointed to as one of the main reasons why this team was able to do something different. And the thing that just bothers me about this team. You know, they were lifeless against the Stars and the Blues. And then they come out against Colorado and look like a team that generally can win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I don't know if it's just, you know, early season and there's not as much focus yet and there's still a lot of new guys playing together. And I do think playing at home against a team of this quality, yeah, that has I think that has somewhat of a factor, somewhat of a point to play. And you're still trying to get Carlson in the mix, working in Lars Eller as well. There are a lot of new guys on the Penguins. Now, Zahorn has been around on the fourth line. Now getting him back up from Wilkes-Barre. Ryan Graves, get him into the mix in the defensive pairings. Knock on wood, everybody's stayed healthy so far this year. Sid, Gino, Gensel, Letang, Riley Smith, Erik Karlsson, they played every game. Marcus Patterson. Drew O'Connor in limited minutes has been solid. I like Jarry as well in the bottom six. He brings that toughness. He's physical. Lars Eller's physical. I mean, seeing him play for other teams in the past, he's just somebody that is not afraid to go at guys. You know, one team that Lars Eller previously played for, the Washington Capitals, you know, You saw it. Playing against him for so many years. He's a tough guy. And he stays on the rink. He's out there consistently all the time. He played for Colorado last year. He knows the quality of that team. When he played for Washington, 81 games, 81 games, 81 games, 69 games, 44 games, 72 games. He played 84 games last season. 84 games? There's only 82 games in the season. And he played 84 after going from Washington to Colorado. 60 games with the Caps, 24 with Colorado. And with the Penguins, he's been a productive player. He's been a good player. And I mean, I don't think there's that much more that you could ask for from Lars Eller and some of these younger guys that the Penguins are trying to put into the mix, because it's mostly just an old team. It's a veteran team. Riley Smith with 2 goals, Lars Eller with a goal. It was Riley Smith with the 2 goals, my apologies, not Eller. Eller had a goal, Riley Smith with 2. And of course, Sid also found the back of the net. Rust and Gino with assists, Jake Guentzel as well. Eller said, quote, "This is the kind of effort and structure we need to play with every game. We can do great things and still play fun hockey and score goals. It doesn't have to be one or the other." Riley Smith is a terrific hockey player. Somebody who for Vegas was just terrific in all aspects. Up against the wall, being able to lead the charge offensively as well. And playing him with, say, Gino, whoever. Man, it could open up a can of worms for really good things for the Penguins. And Riley Smith talked after the game about, you know, really the key of playing with Gino, playing with Malkin, and being able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, just try to keep an eye open for where he's at. You know, he doesn't always look for the fastest lane to the net. Sometimes just looking for space and open ice. So he does a great job when he has the puck on a stick. So I just try to do that as best as possible and try to find an open lane for myself.
Riley, to that point, can you take us through that second goal and the patience he had and as you were watching it unfold in front of you there?
Yeah, you know, I think we did a good job coming back into the D zone, and someone was able to pop a puck. We had a lot of time, and I thought the D's gap was pretty big for when we were coming in. So G did a good job kind of holding everyone and then being able to slide over back to our pass.
So the Penguins, a couple more games at home. Ottawa, Anaheim. I don't see why a winning streak can't be in the works. Senators, 3-4, kind of a blah team. And then the Anaheim Ducks, also at 3-4, fourth place in the Pacific right now. It's still early in the season. You just kind of want to see the fight from this team on a consistent basis. And maybe it's just because there isn't a sense of urgency at the moment. Yeah, I get that, but you know, it still can be frustrating when there's so many highs and lows right now. And, you know, you look back how the season ended last year. I mean, I don't think I'm wrong on this, okay? Think back with me. That Colorado, that game that right now about Colorado yesterday, it's one that could jump start this team throughout the next couple games, go on a winning streak, grab some points, and be able to make some damage. Because just think about the Blackhawks game last year to end the year. Think about the Blackhawks game to begin this season. 2-0 against a young team that's looking for more production, that wants to take a leap, but still isn't there yet. Last year was pretty much tanking at the end. Pretty much. I mean, they wanted their best shot at Connor Bedard, who they ended up getting anyway. Beat the Penguins and kept them out of the playoffs. Early season losses, and they're not talked about that much once we get further on and further on down the season. But those couple of games where maybe you take the night off and you don't play as hard, and a team that isn't as good as you gets you, that could be a game that coming down the pipe in March, in April, you look at and you say, man, if we had that one, it's a difference of 2 points. It's a difference in 1 point, just sending it to overtime. So that's just my big gripe, my big concern with some of these early season games. And I understand you're not going to win every game. I mean, you can't be naive to think otherwise, but The performance that the Penguins put up yesterday against Colorado was impressive. Good to see. And truly, I want to see more. I want to see more Riley Smith and Geno being able to work off of each other. I want to see more Jake Guentzel playing the way that we all know that he is capable of. Depth scoring? Never heard of her the last 2 years. So it was great to see on full display, as it did not have to be Geno, Guentzel, Brian Ross. Sid did score, but it didn't have to be the main guys. Erik Karlsson putting the puck in the back of the net to get the job done. Coming up next, the Steelers got to get the job done against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll talk about that, as well as the Pittsburgh Pirate getting finally, it's about dang time he gets recognition. Who is it? You probably know. We'll talk about it coming up next. Austin Bechtold right here, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, yeah, it's a Football Friday. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. Apply at 84lumber.com. Dan Orlovsky, he ran out of the back of the end zone with the Detroit Lions. But ever since that, it's been nothing but up for Orlovsky. He's an ESPN analyst. He is one of the best around. Fantastic job of breaking down plays, coverages, all the above, and he did so on NFL Live earlier this week. And saying about the Steelers, he can't quit on them just yet.
I agree with Coach Tomlin.
Yeah.
The Steelers' offense still very predictable, all that stuff. Two things I can guarantee you. Number one, they are going to throw go routes or fades, potential back shoulders to George Pickens. I would too, as well. Like, they motion Najee Harris. He's the only guy at the bottom of the screen. He's reading that safety. Does he hang for a little bit? If he does, if he does not go over the top and double team, I'm throwing the ball to Pickens. And I'm probably going to throw it on a back shoulder because his ability to judge it is perfect. That is going to happen four or five times a game. The reality is, if they hit two or three, they'll play okay. If they don't, they're going to play poorly. This is an out route to Deontay Johnson. Cut, split. The corner is outside. This is a very scary throw for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You've got a running back that's trying to protect. Linebacker coming free. Defensive back still outside. If that ball's not perfect, it's picked and game over. That's that clutch throw. This is the one to seal the game. Now Pickens is in the slot. Seven guys up at the line of scrimmage. Who's coming? Who's not? Only four rushers. Everybody else drops out. This is a simulated pressure. Pickens is running down the middle of the field. Those linebackers, they're not deep enough. As I'm getting hit, I'm going to cut this ball loose thinking that middle linebacker is not going to run through enough. And that is a play that essentially seals the game.
Basically, what Orlovsky is getting at, and that was all, a lot of it, fourth quarter plays, the Steelers, and really just allowing Kenny Pickett to drop it in the bucket. Since week five, Pickett has a total QBR in the fourth quarter of 83. That's second in the NFL. Now, Pickett deserves some credit. He still needs to be able to step up in the pocket, not spin out away when pressure is collapsing in on him. But a ton of the plays that we saw the Steelers making in the Rams game, as Orlovsky alluded to, these are timing routes. And all the Pickens play, the back shoulder routes against the sideline, yeah, you want to see them use the middle of the field a little bit, and they did this week. A lot of those plays are timing routes. Pickens is throw to Deontay Johnson over the middle. Slant routes. Slant routes, you know, maybe, just maybe, slant routes. People might say they're, just utilized in like a high school offense. It's a high school type play. Slant routes are good. Deontay Johnson capitalized 15 yards off a slant route. The Steelers basically sealed the game on more of a post route, a deeper slant route, to seal it. And Deontay Johnson along the sideline. Johnson definitely, we know how the big playability of George Pickens and how Pickett and him have been on pretty much the same page. Having Deontay Johnson back, that's huge for this offense. Because it takes some attention away from Pickens and teams can't double team him because they got to respect the $18 million man, number 18. So I think there's some good things that we've seen progressing from the Steelers offense. It's not perfect. It won't be perfect. Nobody thinks it will be. But there's some good things that are coming from this team in the fourth quarter. And it's why you just can't say die on this team yet. They're 4-2. There's been comparisons to the Denver Broncos with Tim Tebow, and Tebow and Kenny Pickett is a similar type of guy. That's not the case. I mean, Tebow at Florida, national championship level quarterback. Kenny Pickett was a Heisman finalist. A lot more flair around Tim Tebow. You know, he legitimately was just a poor quarterback, where Kenny Pickett, I think, more has his more intangibles and just plays the position better. Yeah, the defense backs up both of the guys, but I don't really see that as a realistic thing that you can point to as a solid comparison, just because I think the quarterbacks are different in the way that they play. Tebow was also a heavy run-oriented quarterback. Well, George Pickens, well, it seems like he is excited, I guess, to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, he called them a hope defense. What? George, explain.
Speed off of, you know, personal connection.
George, why has Jacksonville been susceptible for the pass? I mean, I think they have one of the worst pass defense, especially the last three games. I think they're last.
Yeah, I think their D-line, they depend on their D-line a lot. With their team, you know, having a lot of the first-round guys on that D-line, that's what they depend on a lot. And they kind of, you know, hope. You know what I mean? Hope the guys hold up long enough. Hope. So it's kind of a hope defense for sure. Speed off of, you know, personal.
What? A hope defense. So that was posted on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, by Brian Bacco. Richie Wallace asked the question. Thanks to those guys for that. Yeah. Jacksonville is second to last in total passing yards on the year, allowing 274 yards a game through the air, but fourth in rushing yards allowed at 81. 23rd in total yards allowed at 365. I just, there are things that you can think and there are things that you can say. And I think this is partly why people have this opinion and thought process on George Pickens that he really can be a diva mentality and a diva personality. And if people didn't think this literally when he was drafted and he stood in front of the TV in what became a national meme, looking at the TV with his hood up and just kind of nodding at the TV, which was, we all thought was funny at the time. I mean, it's still funny now. But I mean, like, it was interesting. You didn't just automatically think, okay, George Pickens is a diva because of that. He battled some injuries at Georgia, some inconsistencies. We all knew how good of a player he was at Georgia. Hell, I wanted the Steelers to draft him. I didn't know if they would, but I mean, I've seen him play in that Georgia offense in college, and he was just dynamic, explosive, big play guy. And that's what he is for the Steelers. I mean, he's their number one. He is their best wide receiver. He's their most talented wide receiver. Deontay Johnson right now is probably still their best all-around wide receiver and total route tree that he has at his disposal and what he can do with the football and everything in that nature. But there is a problem with George Pickens. It's slight. He's a great player. I'll take some lumps here and there because of how great he is. I'm not trying to characterize George Pickens as a bad guy. and is somebody who we shouldn't stand behind and root for. I like George Pickens. I like him a lot. I think he's a fantastic wide receiver. I think overall, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, say things like this, they're characterized in ways really that they shouldn't, and they're over-criticized. Should George Pickens be criticized for calling Jacksonville a hope defense? Yeah, a little bit. It's kind of like saying, it's like kind of like Patrick Peterson saying, you know, the San Francisco 49ers have tells. Bulletin board material, I think it's a real thing. It can be a motivational thing. Yeah, if you're in the NFL, how much motivation do you really need? I understand that. I get that. But it's just something extra. Something extra that's just unnecessary. If George Pickens is saying that to Deontay Johnson or to Kenny Pickett or Mike Tomlin, okay. A little bit different than saying it to the media. I do like his honesty. Honesty is the best policy, a term that's very often used, but is it? So I'm a little bit, I'm concerned. Concerned, panic, or doom? I'm concerned. I'm not panicking yet on George Pickens. We know how talented he is. I'm just hoping that the Steelers can kind of rein him in a little bit and just kind of say, George, I don't need to say that. We don't need 15-yard penalties for unsportsmanlike conduct, which seemingly has happened every week now. Is George Pickens becoming a diva? I'd side on yes more than no. But I'm not willing to, you know, go all in on one way or the other right now. I want to see more, and if his play continues to be as great as it has been, we'll see what happens. But do want to see a little bit less talk and just continue to play well and not create any distractions, because it can be a real thing. Keep Ryan Hayes, Fielding Bible winner at third base. He's the defensive player of the year. He just continues to rack up accolades. Should be the Gold Glove winner. Should be the Platinum Glove winner as the best defensive fielder, really, in all of baseball. It's the first time that SIS Baseball has given this honor as a part of the Fielding Bible Awards. He led all third basemen in defensive runs saved in 2023, the runaway leader in runs saved at third base since 2020. Ke'Bryan Hayes has been he's a star defensively for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he's a finalist for the Gold Glove. Nolan Arenado is not. Arenado, who seemingly has won the last 10, I think it's 8, maybe 9 Gold Gloves. He's been fantastic at the hot corner. But Ke'Bryan Hayes should have won it last year. He probably should have won it the year before. He's the best defensive player in the game. At third base, he's the best out of anybody. And it's good to see him get that recognition. The pre-show is next, right here on The Fam. Yep.